ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers. Text 35. Itihasam
Itihasam
Imam
Imam
Guyam,
Guyam
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan
Kumbhasambhava
Kumbhasambhava
Kathayam,
Kathayam
Asa,
Asa
Malaye,
Malaye
Asinaha,
Asinaha
Harim,
Harim
Acharyan,
Acharyan
Itihasam imam guyam
Itihasam imam guyam
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhava
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhava
Kathayam asamalaya
Kathayam asamalaya
Asino harim archayan
Asino harim archayan
Itihasam imam guyam
Itihasam imam guyam
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhava
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhava
Kathayam asamalaya
Kathayam asamalaya
Asino harim archayan
Asino harim archayan
Itihasam imam guhyam
Itihasam imam guhyam
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhavah
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhavah
Kathayam asamalaya
Kathayam asamalaya
Asino harim archayan
Asino harim archayan
Itihasam imam guhyam
Itihasam imam guhyam
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhavah
Bhagavan Kumbhasambhavah
Kathayam asamalaya
Kathayam asamalaya
Asino harim archayan
Asino harim archayan
For the sake of time, we'll just move ahead a little quickly now. Itihasam
Itihasam
History Imam
Imam
This.
This.
Guyam.
Guyam.
Very confidential.
Very confidential.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The most powerful.
The most powerful.
Kumbhasambhavaha.
Kumbhasambhavaha.
Agastya Muni.
Agastya Muni.
The son of Kumbha.
The son of Kumbha.
Kathayam asa.
Kathayam asa.
Explain.
Explain.
Malaye.
Malaye.
In the Malaya Hills.
In the Malaya Hills.
Asinaha.
Asinaha.
Residing.
Residing.
Harim Archayan.
Harim Archayan.
Worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation. When the great sage Agastya, the son of Kumbha, was residing in the Malaya Hills and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I approached him, and he explained to me this confidential history.
Kumbha Udbhuta Maharshi Agastya jokhon Malaya Parbote obosthan kore Bhagavaner aradhanay ekta chilen তখন তিনি আমাকে এই অত্যন্ত গোপনীয় ইতিহাস বলেছিলেন
So now we'll go back to text 33, just the translation. Devotees who always lick the honey from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna do not care at all for material activities, which are performed under the three modes of material nature, and which bring only misery. Indeed, devotees never give up the lotus feet of Krishna to return to material activities. Others, however, who are addicted to the Vedic rituals because they have neglected the service of the Lord's lotus feet, are enchanted by lusty desires, and are enchanted by lusty desires, sometimes perform acts of atonement. Nevertheless, being incompletely purified, they return to sinful activities again and again.
নিরন্তর শ্রীকৃষ্ণের পাশে পদপদ্মের মধুপানরত ভক্তেরা প্রকৃতির তিন গুণের অধীনে সম্পাদিত দুঃখ দুর্দশা প্রদানকারী জড়জাগতিক কার্যকলাপে কখনো আসক্ত হন না। তারা কখনো শ্রীকৃষ্ণের শ্রী পদপদ্ম ত্যাগ করে জড়জাগতিক কার্যকলাপে রত হন না। কিন্তু যারা বৈদিক কর্মকাণ্ডের অনুষ্ঠানের প্রতি আসক্ত, তারা ভগবানের শ্রীপাদপদ্মের সেবায় অবহেলা করার পরে কামবাসনার দ্বারা ধরিত হয়ে কখনো কখনো প্রায়শ্চিত্ত করে, কিন্তু তা সত্ত্বেও তাদের হৃদয় পূর্ণরূপে শুদ্ধ না হওয়ার পরে তারা পুনরায় সেই পাপ কর্মে লিপ্ত হয়।
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee's duty is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. One may sometimes chant with offenses and sometimes without offenses. But if one seriously adopts this process, he will achieve perfection, which cannot be achieved through Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement. Persons who are attached to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies but do not believe in devotional service, who advise atonement but do not appreciate the chanting of the Lord's holy name, fail to achieve the highest perfection. Devotees, therefore, being completely detached from material enjoyment, never give up Krishna consciousness for Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Those who are attached to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies because of lusty desires are subjected to the tribulations of material existence again and again. Maharaj Parikshit has compared their activities to Kunjara Socha, the bathing of an elephant. Hare Krishna. The last... But I'll do... All right, I'll do it now. Text 34. After hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and his name, fame, and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him and dare not look at him again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since this incident, the Yamadutas have given up the dangerous behavior of approaching devotees. For the Yamadutas, a devotee is dangerous. So the translation and purport to text 34 appear to be quite humorous. Because generally, devotees are considered the well-wishers of all living entities and the greatest benefactors of all humanity. So why would it be dangerous to approach devotees? It is dangerous to approach devotees with the idea of harming them or punishing them. And therefore, Sati, in her instructions to her father Daksha, after he had offended Lord Shiva, said that the dust of the lotus feet of devotees diminish the life of an offender. There are so many instructions in the scriptures, in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that advise one to take shelter of the lotus feet of devotees. Mahat seva dwaram ahur vimuktes, that by taking shelter of the lotus feet of devotees, the door to liberation is open. But if one offends the dust of the lotus feet of devotees, it has the opposite effect. And the same dust will push one down into hellish ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the sunlight. That for some plants, the hot sunlight causes them to grow luxuriantly.
কিছু কিছু বৃক্ষের ক্ষেত্রে এই যে সূর্যের যে রশ্মি যেটা তাদেরকে বাড়তে খুব সাহায্য করে।
And for other plants, the scorching sunlight causes them to wither and dry up.
আর কিছু কিছু বৃক্ষের ক্ষেত্রে এই সূর্যের প্রচন্ড তাপ তাদেরকে শুকিয়ে ফেলে, তাদেরকে কাঁকালি করে দেয়।
So it depends on the recipient. If one humbly serves the dust of the lotus feet of devotees, one will gain all benedictions. And if one offends the same dust, one will wither and dry up in devotional service. So we should, of course, take full advantage of the association of devotees to serve them humbly. And thus receive the greatest benediction. And the fact that we are sitting here today is itself evidence that we have received the mercy of devotees. Because without the mercy of devotees, one cannot approach the devotional service of Krishna. Now coming back to text 33. The last line of the purport summarizes the verse, and in a way it summarizes the discussion that led to the whole narration of the story of Ajana. Kunjara Chocha, the bathing of an elephant, was a phrase used by Maharaj Parikshit at the beginning of the sixth canto. At the end of the fifth canto, Shukadeva Goswami described the hellish punishments that await sinful living entities. And Maharaj Parikshit, being a compassionate Vaishnav, asked, what can we do to help the living entities and save them from hellish punishment? Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami first recommended the process of atonement. But the process of atonement comes in the category of karmakanda, and as long as one is on the platform of karma, he cannot be liberated.
আর এই যে প্রায়শ্চিত্তের পথ সেটা কর্মকাণ্ডের অধিকারে পড়ে এবং যতক্ষণ পর্যন্ত একজন কর্মের মধ্যে আছে ততক্ষণ পর্যন্ত সে বিরতি করে না।
And Maharaj Parikshit was not satisfied with Shukadeva Goswami's answer.
তাই মহারাজ পরীক্ষিত সুখদেব
Because although atonement can relieve one from sinful reactions, it does not uproot the sinful desires within the heart that led to the sinful activities. Then Shukadev Goswami thought that Maharaj Parikshit had passed this test. He didn't accept the inferior answer, and so he went on and proposed knowledge, that through knowledge or jnanakanda, one can become free from sinful reactions and one will avoid committing sinful activities. But again, Maharaj Parikshit rejected the answer. Because many times people know what's right and wrong, but still, because of spiritual weakness, they do what's wrong, and they have to suffer the results. And so this example of Kunjara Shocha, the bathing of an elephant, he purifies himself by atonement or by knowledge. But then again, after coming out of the water, he rolls or throws dirt on himself and becomes filthy again. So the real solution is bhakti, and specifically the chanting of the holy names. Even by chanting in Nam Abbas, which is without offense but not pure, one can become relieved of sinful reactions. And ultimately elevated to the perfectional stage of love of Godhead. At one stage, a small group of devotees went to Madras. We were the first devotees from ISKCON to go. And we were staying with a gentleman, a sort of orthodox in his own way, also speculative, who was saying that we are Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas are greater than Brahmins, but we're not Brahmins. In order to become Brahmins, we have to take birth in Brahmin families in our next life. So there were four of us in that small party. Achyutananda Swami said to our host, what is more powerful sinful reactions or Krishna's holy name. And the host had to admit Krishna's holy name. Then Achyutananda Swami said, well, someone is born in a Brahmin family or a lower family according to his past pious and sinful activities. But you just admitted that Krishna's holy name is more powerful than any sinful activities. And so those sinful reactions that caused our so-called lower birth have been eradicated, and therefore, and there's a verse in the third canto that those who chant the holy name are immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. In other words, they're immediately accepted to be Brahmins. Thinking back on that period and being here in Mayapur, I cannot help but think of Bhavananda Prabhu, who was part of that small party. So on one day while we were staying in that home, it was Ekadasi, and it was raining quite heavily. And Achyutananda Swami said, it's a Ekadasi, it's not good to go out. I'm just going to spend the day back at the house. And Bhavananda Prabhu and I were very, you know, staunch, enthusiastic, determined preachers. So we said, anyway, you can stay back. We're going out to preach. We're going to serve Srila Prabhupada. We're going out. So we went out, and in Madras, at least in that area, there was like a pretty deep sewerage canal, about 3 feet deep. Well, yeah, 2.5, 3 feet deep, running along the side of the road. But the rain was coming down so profusely that it completely filled up the sewerage canal, and it was flooding over the road, and everything looked like water. So, you know, we were walking on the road, but everything looked the same. It was like an experience of oneness.
So
And then Bhavananda Prabhu fell into the sewerage canal, and he was like this deep in water, and whatever else was in
there.
So, and I met Srila Prabhupada shortly thereafter. I related the incident to him. That we had experienced the Brahman platform of complete oneness. And I told him how Bhavananda Prabhu had fallen in. And Srila Prabhupada said, he's more advanced than you are. Because your knowledge was only theoretical. And his was realized. So, although it was a joke, but it's a fact that when one has realization of bhakti, the stage of oneness, like Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochiti, samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhakti lavate param, that real bhakti begins when one is on the Brahman platform. In Bombay, Srila Prabhupada had a friend named Dr. Patel. When we first came to Juhu, we were living on the roofs of the existing tenement buildings, and then eventually we built a sort of crude hut. And Dr. Patel was very impressed that these American and European young men and women had left their comforts and countries and come to India to serve in such austere conditions. And although he was a very proud man, I mean, he was a medical doctor, he had studied in England, but more than that, he maintained his strict Vaishnav principles even in England. So he was a little proud. But he was so, you could say, inspired by the devotees that he personally went to a big cloth market in Bombay, MJ Market, and he begged cotton and cloth, and he had mattresses, little thin mattresses put together. He got blankets and mosquito nets and little pillows, and he contributed 12 sets to that early group of devotees.
কিন্তু উনি যখন একটা দেখলেন, দেখে উনি এতই অনুপ্রাণিত হলেন যে তারপর উনি একটা বিছানা দোকানে গেলেন এবং সেখানে গিয়ে ভক্তদের জন্য গাছি, তারপরে কম্বল, মশারি, বালিশ এবং বারো সেট সব ভক্তদের জন্য উনি নিয়ে আসলেন।
And those of you who have lived in ashrams and may appreciate what Dr. Patel noticed. Originally there were 12 mattresses, 12 blankets, 12 pillows and 12 mosquito nets. But after a while, one pillow disappeared, two mosquito nets disappeared, three blankets disappeared.
কিন্তু কিছুদিন পরে দেখা গেল যে একটা কম্বল উধাও হয়ে গেল, দুটো বালিশ উধাও হয়ে গেল, বা তিনটে মশারি চলে গেল দিয়ে।
And as time went on, there were hardly any remnants of Dr. Patel's hard-fought begging and donating. And eventually, there was not a single trace of his donation. Not a single thread. So every morning when Srila Prabhupada would be in Bombay, Dr. Patel would accompany him on his walk on Juhu Beach. So he brought up the point. And he was very upset. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Do you know why there's nothing of your donation left?" Because all of my disciples, this is Prabhupada speaking, because all of my disciples are mukta, they're liberated. They don't care for these material things. As long as they can chant Hare Krishna and serve their spiritual master, they're happy. And he said that mukti which you are so eager to get, they already have.
আর আপনি যে মুক্তির জন্য খুব উৎসুকভাবে অপেক্ষা করছেন, তাদের আমার সেই শিষ্যদের কাছে এখন অবধি অনেকে আছে।
So again, though Srila Prabhupada was speaking in a humorous way, he was actually stating a profound truth.
তাই আরেকবার দেখা যাচ্ছে যে এখানেও রূপা যদিও খুব মজা করে কথা বলছে, কিন্তু তিনি খুব একটা বাস্তব সত্য কথা বলছেন।
That devotees who are relishing the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, of chanting the holy names and serving the pure devotee, they don't care about anything else, material, for themselves. And those who have knowledge, Gyan, Dr. Patel, those who have knowledge but no bhakti, they cannot achieve even liberation, what to speak of transcendental love.
Bhakti
So Srila Prabhupada's disciples are examples of the truths of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. That only if one experiences the higher taste of Krishna consciousness can he be saved from lower engagements. And that main process is the chanting of the holy names without offense. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And by offenseless chanting of the holy name, one's heart will be infused with the desire to serve and the mood of compassion that is the basis of the desire to preach. And Srila Prabhupada had that faith in the holy name. And because of his faith in the holy name, we took up the chanting and we got the results. Of course, one should do it in the proper way, as directed by the spiritual master. But if one does so, one will be liberated from all sinful reactions, which includes sinful desires. And beyond that, one will relish the aroma of the tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of the Lord. And what better place to engage in such activities than Sri Mayapur Dham? In the association of so many wonderful devotees. And then as one morning walk Srila Prabhupada took here in Mayapur, and one of the sannyasis was so enraptured with Mayapur that he said to Srila Prabhupada that this Mayapur is so wonderful, I feel like never leaving. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Now you must go out and make the whole world my poor." But of course, some must stay in Mayapur. Different shlokas for different folks. But somehow or other, we should be absorbed in Mayapur in the chanting of the holy name and the service of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. Hare Krishna. According to the time, there's no time for questions, so should we just go? I don't know if he was the proper authority, but I asked the translator, and I said that the official time is up, so maybe we don't have time for questions, but he said we could take one question. Yes, I'm going to make a compromise here because I know there are meetings and other things. So we'll officially end the class now. And those who have the time and inclination can stay. And you can come forward and ask your question. And we'll keep the microphone on. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Oh. Right.
My quick question is, how did Dr. Patel respond?
His question is, how did Dr. Patel respond? And that's a very good question, because I did want to tell you that by Srila Prabhupada's association, Dr. Patel changed.
That's it.
To some extent. And after Srila Prabhupada left, he wrote an article about his association with Srila Prabhupada. He really developed a lot of love for Srila Prabhupada. And that article was published in BTG, and the title was Respectable Bombay Doctor Called a Great Fool and Loves It. Yeah, it was like, yeah, my life's most precious moments. So yeah, he was actually transformed by Srila Prabhupada's association. Thank you. Thank you for asking that most important question. So the conclusion is, anyone who associates with Srila Prabhupada or his vani through his books or his sincere followers will be blessed, no matter from what background he comes.
Jay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Alright, we hear so much about the glories of the holy name and just how even once chanting the holy name has no effect. But sometimes it appears that we have been chanting for years and we have faith, but there doesn't seem to be that when we are developing taste, although we are following the process. So is it that we have to just be patient, or is it something that some tips are there to develop quick taste?
Well, chanting. Oh, yes. The question is that according to scripture, there's great benefit to chanting the holy name even once. But there are many of us who chant the holy name, many times every day, year after year. but we don't develop taste. So do we just have to be patient and continue, or are there some tips? So both are true. Nama parada yukta nam nama neva harantyagam avirishtanti prayunkanti tan evartha karani cha. That even if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offensively, one can avoid offenses by continuously chanting without deviation. So, I think that's the main thing, is don't stop. But at the same time, there are instructions how to chant the holy name to get the full benefit. The instructions are found in many places in Srila Prabhupada's books. And followers of Srila Prabhupada have also written books based on his instructions that are specifically focused on the practice of chanting the holy name or chanting japa. When Srila Prabhupada first came to Mayapur and was living in the little hut, which is still there in a form, so a young Peace Corps worker, Bob Cohen, was coming and asking him questions. And at one stage he was asking about, you know, the spiritual master accepting the sinful reactions of the disciples. So I was acutely aware of my deficiencies in Srila Prabhupada's presence, so I asked him a question. And it's quite relevant. I said, sometimes we want to do something, but we can't do it. And Srila Prabhupada replied, how is that? If you vow to follow certain principles, then you must follow your vows. And then I explained what was on my mind, which was that I try to chant attentively, but I can't. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, that is not a fault. As long as you sincerely try your best, even if you fail, and if you repent, and try to do better in the future, Krishna forgives.
Krishna
That's a general instruction, but it applies to chanting. The first thing is we should try our best. Second is if we fail, we should repent. And third is we should resolve and endeavor to do better. But one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada specifically, how do we chant attentively? And Srila Prabhupada replied, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. So one could speak on this sutra for many days. But the first part is you have to chant sincerely. And in one purport, Srila Prabhupada, sincerity means that you act to please Krishna without any material desire for yourself. So that's chanting sincerely. And then you have to try to hear yourself chanting sincerely. So it's a very useful formula. And I wish you well.
Last point is it good to, like some devotees, they hear Prabhupada chanting along with their own chanting? Is it good?
He says some devotees like to hear Prabhupada's chanting along with their own chanting. I would say if it helps you to hear your own chanting, then it could be considered favorable. But once Srila Prabhupada came into a temple room where they were chanting, playing his japa tape during japa time, and Srila Prabhupada said, why are you playing my japa tape? You should be hearing your own japa, not my japa. But that said, if having his japa with you, but not drowning out your own japa, it helps you hear your own japa, then it's favorable. But chanting with other sincere chanters is definitely very favorable. Hare Krishna. Okay, last question, because
the devotees who are residing in Mayapur, what's the proper mood and lifestyle?
Devotees who are living in Mayapur, what should be their proper mood and lifestyle?
Mayapur
Well, we want to, you know, there's Anusar and Anukar. There's imitation and there's following in the footsteps. But the mood should be the mood of the Panchatattva. The mood of our previous acharyas. The mood of Srila Prabhupada, which is that we should taste Krishna consciousness and distribute Krishna consciousness. And as far as lifestyle, we should live the lifestyle of Vaishnavas. There may be some difference between those in Brahmachari Ashram, Grihastha Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram, and Sannyasa Ashram. But we should live the lifestyle of pure Vaishnavas. And always cling to the association of other devotees. And if we have questions, consult mature, experienced, learned, sympathetic devotees. That's much safer. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Shri Radha Madhava ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Shri Radha Madhava ki jai.
Jai Shri Radha Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna.